Morning, Steve. How are you?
Maybe. There he is. All right, Nick. Good morning. We're good. We're good. Looking forward to tomorrow. And I wanted to get out in front of it. And it's always better when we can do it a day. You know, there's obviously the opportunities to do the opinion the same day. But by doing it today, people will hear it again tomorrow. First of all, some overview thoughts about, you know, how to approach this Belmont season with, you know, some horses that have been kind of cooling their heels in New York, and then horses coming in from, you know, points on the compass, including Florida, et cetera.
I mean, it's probably the most anticipated Belmont spring-summer meet, not spring for much longer, but we've had in a long time just because of the inactivity and the number of horses that have been away the time we've been waiting for the meet to start. It's something we've been looking forward to now for a while. And so one of the things that we've seen from other locations where racing was interrupted for a period of time is that there's a glut of horses ready to run. And luckily training did continue in New York during the dark period in terms of the afternoon. And the first three cards show it. And I imagine that'll be the case for at least the first few weeks, maybe when there's an influx of horses that had been in other locales here to get the meet started, you'll see a little bit more. But, you know, I've been the type that has said that, you know, we just don't have good competitive dirt racing anymore. And that is absolutely not the case on the opening three cards. We've got multiple 14-horse fields sprinkled in with some very good turf racing. And, of course, the turf racing should only get better as time goes by. So it's quite an offering. And one thing that we've gotten now consistently during the pandemic is good competitive racing, wherever it's taken place, Oaklawn, Gulfstream more towards the beginning of April, now Churchill and Belmont added to the mix. So though we've had to weather some difficult times, I think the opportunities for horse players are immense.
Well, and when you look at this card, the opening day card, it's kind of a mixed bag, too, because you've got, you know, the allowance races and you've got the Bogey that, you know, came up with some real star power to it, with Got Stormy and Rushing Fall and the wonderful New York bred 55. And then, you know, then actually three other kind of interesting players. You've got, you know, at the same time, when you talk about those, particularly the main track, full fields, Nick, you do have things like the Maiden 30 that goes as the seventh. It starts the late pick four. You've got a 16 non-winners of two. That's the nightcap. So it's a little bit mix and match. There's a 10 claimer actually in the early pick five, and there's a lot of different kinds of fields that came together, and virtually every one, are overflow, and that's been a theme we've been dealing with here for weeks.
Yeah, and obviously the horse population in New York when racing was interrupted was heavy on the winter types, right? So it was mainly claimers, dirt horses, and they're the ones that obviously are in the biggest need of a place to run right away. And then as the more of the staples for this time of year come back to New York, we'll see a lot of those races start to fill. But, you know, obviously a lot of the big barns took a jaunt to Louisville on the way back to New York, and some of those horses, some of the allowance types and the maiden special weight types will gradually work their way back. I mean, I think we'll see the regular complement of Chad Brown trainees and obviously Todd Pletcher and Bill Mott probably brought more horses to Kentucky for this time of year. If they even had in the past, they certainly brought more this time around. So it'll take a few days for maybe it to look like normal. And I mean, I suppose somebody could make the charge that there's a little bit more cheap racing than you would think. But, I mean, if full fields are what you seek, then the options are plentiful, no doubt about it. The Bogey is terrific. The field, of course, is small, and you could sense a little frustration from people thinking, how did the Mint Julep get 14 and the Bogey get 6? But, you know, you put Rushing Fall or Got Stormy into the Mint Julep, and I don't think that field would have gotten to 14. So, in many ways, these are two of the top probably three or four females on the turf, depending on what we see from a...
Oh, that didn't sound good.
Really has a chance.
Okay, so,
you're probably
there. We go. We lost you for a minute, Nick. We lost you for a second.
Sorry about that.
Roll back about...
what you're looking at with rushing fall, of course, is that she looks to be the main pace player. And if that's the case, then she's going to be very difficult to beat. There's no doubt that when she's been able to control on the front end, she's been very, very tough. And Got Stormy's a horse also that does have some tactical speed. And I think looking back on Got Stormy's 2019, I at least was sort of impressed again at how well she ran on numerous occasions. That being said, the Endeavor was a dull effort, but she came back and ran very well in the kill row to a horse that arguably could have come back and finished second or so in the Shoemaker. So there's clearly a lot to like about her. And I think she can be just as effective at a mile and a 16th as she's been at a mile, if not a little bit better, perhaps at a mile. So it does loom a real showdown, certainly is the centerpiece of that opening day card.
It does feel like you got to use all three of them when it comes to the pick four or pick five, no?
Who is your third one, 55?
Yeah.
Or passing out? Yeah, I mean, I think you got to use the main two as A's and back up with anybody else. And I say that in part because you're going to run out of spots on your card. You know, the races around it are so competitive that you're going to sort of be forced into leaning on those favorites. And, I mean, I do think it's a scenario where, I mean, I don't want to put a percentage on it and look like a buffoon, but, you know, over 90% of the time, I feel like this race is won by either Rushing Fall or Got Stormy. So it just depends on how strongly you believe in some of the alternatives. I guess you're more inclined, I would say, to use alternatives if you believe that maybe Zenobia is going to make the race a little tougher on Rushing Fall early. And you know, one of the things that you could say about Rushing Fall, and I've certainly said it, certainly believed, is that the lines are pretty dressed up. She's had things really work strongly in her favor. So I trust Got Stormy a little bit more, but I think that in the context of this race, it really suits Rushing Fall style to a T.
Nick, let's back it up to the sixth race and touch on a couple of the races from the pick five. And this is a filly and mare allowance going a mile and a 16th. And I thought this was an interesting group that had, you know, four really obvious contenders and then maybe one or two prices that could interlope.
Yeah, I think it is a very contentious race, no question about it. I landed on Medita, who will probably be one of the choices. Arno Delacour is good off the layoff, but really what drew me to this horse is that if you're looking at, you're trying to really determine the strength and quality of a one other than, you go back and look at the one other than that she exits and take a look at the PPs for Pivotal Connection and Altea. Altea obviously is sort of the equine chandelier, but it's a horse that's been competitive in graded stake races and happened to be dropped in class that day in an effort to clear that condition. And Pivotal Connection is a horse that came back and ran well on multiple occasions after that. Coffee Crush just got out and set sort of an insane pace on a really, really firm turf course, and that did Medita in. So I feel like she'll be kind of positioned to run well off the layoff. Delacour's 27% with a positive ROI, 205 with turf routers off 180-plus day breaks. But there are alternatives. I mean, there are a lot of options in here. English Soul is getting back to the turf. We've obviously all become accustomed to the ability of Jack Sisterson, given the way he started the Churchill meet, nearly won the Blame, and came back and scored a nice win on Friday with Lexingtonian over Hot Creek Hustle. And he's moving English Soul back to the turf. She's a better turf horse. So there's no question. This is pretty much any way you can let it shake out. She's been on the turf. But looking at those running lines, looking at the quality of the races that she ran for Ray Handel, and then the race that she ran for Sisterson first off the trainer change, I mean, that's a very, very solid performance and one that would definitely make her a contender. I know that you fancy Repatriated Gem a little bit, who's coming off a layoff from Mike Stidham. He has excellent numbers off the layoff, 24%, $2.57 ROI, same categories that I mentioned for Medita. And Repatriated Gem's a horse that also ran into some tough competition last year. If you draw a line through the races that were probably just a little too far for her, then you're talking about a horse that's been has been quite consistent and had just an awful trip in her the final race of 2019 at Fairgrounds, extremely wide the whole way. And then you have Passive Investing, who's going to take a ton of money. This is a scenario, I think, with a Chad Brown horse where it's probably going to be a little bit better as a better for you to take a project or coming off a layoff, potentially buried in the horse that really all of that in terms of what would make feel strongly about her coming back off a layoff and beating this caliber of field. So I would tend to opt for some of the horses towards the outside that I've went over more so than her.
Yeah, and as I mentioned last night, you and I were kind of touching on some things, and Repatriated Gem is my kind of option. I mean, if you're going to take horses that are coming off, you know, 7 month layoffs, you've got 7-2 on Medita, and you've got 3-1 on Passive Investing, etc. If I'm going to take a layoff horse, 15-1 on Stidham, and it really it's not a leap to, you know, to look at that race, particularly the race two back before the end of the season last year, and that is awfully appealing, that race at Keeneland. You also get the benefit of, you know, her coming back as a four-year-old, and the typical, I stress this all the time, and we're going to talk to Jeff Franklin from Thoroughgraph actually next, and when you look on Thoroughgraph on their sire stats, the index, meaning, you know, what the average speed is of progeny at ages 2, 3, 4, and then 5 and above. And you find spots where horses debuting as a 3-year-old, as a 4-year-old, or as a, you know, mature horse or mare. And on average, you know, you see sometimes 2-point improvement, and as she comes back, based on how she finished last year, she's competitive with everybody that's going to be in the single digits or is going to be a favorite or a near favorite. So to me, I mean, that's where the price equation comes in, and so I'm interested in a horse like that. Quick hits, Nick. You got that maiden 30 in the seventh, and then a second level allowance in the eighth. Let's look at those, and particularly in the eighth, where Hidden Scroll is going to be a short price, making a turf move that may be a kickstart to his career.
Yeah, I think that would certainly be the hope, right? I mean, just mentioning real quick on the seventh, Lorenzen and Box of Rain are who I like, both dropping in for a tag, both new geldings, horses that should run a lot better in for the tag. The eighth is, you know, if the Bogey wasn't on the card, the eighth would obviously be the feature, and it's a tremendous race in the sense that it looks competitive from top to bottom. You have Hidden Scroll getting to the turf. Of course, there's some turf pedigree there. It's a little bit more of a dirt family, but obviously the second dam was Etoile Montaigne, who was a great Group 1 winner overseas and then came to America and unfortunately just ran into some better turf females while in Bobby Frankel's barn. This is a give-up move by Bill Mott, for me, in plain English. This is a horse that I think we've all realized now that he won a bias-aided race on debut over a sloppy track, and he's underachieved since then. His last performance was pretty awful, all things considered, given what was expected. And now, you know, it's kind of throw your hands in the air, let's try turf. He didn't catch an easy field by any means. Value Proposition was a horse that ran so well on debut. He was one of the choices in a grade three coming back off of that and just ran a totally baffling race in going to the lead and tiring late. But ended his campaign well with a nice gutty win. He's obviously a horse that's a little quirky in the way he goes. I would encourage people to watch the replay of his last win. He kind of carries his head to the side and was really a handful for Irad the whole way around there, but still was able to get up right on the wire. And you have a horse like Arthur Kitt, who ran very well coming off the trainer change. Is a horse that actually, looking back on it, I had completely forgotten how well this horse ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and spent a lot of time down on that kind of boggy inside at Churchill the Breeders' Cup weekend, and now in the care of Christophe Lamont. Ran very well last time out, was wide. Temple is a stakes caliber horse, actually a stake winner in New York, having won at Aqueduct late in 2019. So, and then the horse, of course, that I picked is Cross Border, who I think is probably a little more effective going longer, but I do like the cutback of sorts as he gets to a mile, and is a horse I think that can kind of sit and make one run I don't think the outside post will end up being a big, big problem. And I think there should be enough early pace in front of him. Obviously, Hidden Scroll is supposed to go to the lead. So is Dream Friend. There's potentially a couple of other pace types in there that could make sure that things heat up a little bit. So I felt like Cross Border would kind of offer value in a race where, I mean, depending on your take on him, my thing would be that Hidden Scroll, in many ways, if you don't like him, then you feel like he's going to remove the takeout because he's a horse that just gets bet every single time he runs. And those of us that are now divorcing ourselves from him will be with great gusto betting against him.
I'm glad you brought up Arthur Kitt, and I kind of agree that the horse to beat is Cross Border, having to work out a trip from the outside. But Arthur Kitt's my price play at 8-1. Although one thing that caught my eye that doesn't even make any sense. How is it possible that Christophe Clément is 0-24, second off the layoff, 180 days? It doesn't even seem possible that I mean, the by accident, you should win one.
That was an amazing stat, and you know, it's one of the things that you can't dig into too much in Formulator. But, I mean, I guess the explanation is that most of the time Christophe's horses off the layoff are really ready to run. And then maybe there's clearly a regression second off the layoff, because off the layoff his numbers are quite good. So that could be something that, and this could be a situation where this horse was ready to, this horse clearly was ready to win last time. He ran an improved race and didn't get any favors done to him by his jockey. So, you know, I think it's one of those interesting situations where with stats you can kind of get yourself off of a horse, but this is one where he fits so many of the proper handicapping principles that you would want to really marry yourself to and end up using him. I think you have to use him no matter what in any pick, whatever, and he's the kind of horse that I think you could kind of key around in the exotic, the intra-race exotics, if his price is good enough.
And Nick, since we caught the races 6, 7, 8, and 9, maybe ask a simple question. Justice of War, how strong a play in the nightcap?
He's definitely, I think he's one of probably three that you have to use. There's no doubt that this is going to be a situation where, I mean, he's very well positioned. The drop is pretty significant. There's no doubt that Linda wanted this horse to run for a little bit higher than 16 when they claimed him back in August. But he's competed well against better horses. He's clearly the horse to beat. I picked Ventus, and Ventus is the kind of horse that I want to use. In light with the bug, off the claim by Rudy. Rudy's 33% positive ROI first off the claim, 45-plus days. Obviously, the 45-plus days was sort of mandated. But this is a horse that had some ability back towards the beginning of his career, and really has just been knocking heads with horses that are much tougher than what he's going to meet in here. So if you believe that he's going to show some natural improvement for Rudy, then clearly this is a horse that you want to use. And I would say the third option is In the Loop. There's a couple of Jorge Duarte horses on these first two cards that drew inside in races where if they had outside posts, they'd probably be among the favorites. This is a horse that you don't really, it's obviously not a great sign that they're giving him up for 16, but he's priced where he can win. And you know, he'll probably be taken at the claim box. This is not an operation that wants $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 claimers. So I think he's spotted to move and is a horse that you have to use because he's just far too logical to beat you in any kind of multi-race bet.
Well, and don't forget that at this time of year, an operation like the Santulli's Colts Neck has got two-year-olds that they're going to move in. So, you know, the horses that haven't really, you know, paid the freight and aren't heading toward, you know, stake level or high allowance company, they're going to clear those out so that Duarte can concentrate on, you know, on the young stock and makes perfect sense. So don't discount, you know, that kind of sensibility when it comes to, you know, the horses that are going to be dropped, and also be aware that the horses, there's quite a few horses that are going to be in for waiver claims, meaning they're going to be dangled but they can't be claimed because of the rule. We talked about that with Martin Panza a couple of weeks ago, and that's an advantage of, you know, everybody that's had to pay the bills these last 2+ months while there was no racing. And so you can run your horse for at least the value that they last ran for a tag before the break. So watch for that too. There's horses that are going to, you know, run, probably win, and then, you know, maybe they'll be, maybe they'll be jammed down again after that. But in a lot of cases, there's going to be horses that are not available for claim running in those claiming spots. Nick's full analysis, the way you came to love it and use it to your advantage all those years at Capital OTB. It's back and better than ever. And RTN, Robert's Television, is going to feature it. I'll have Nick's analysis up at the Races website as well, and more. And Nick, looking forward to a tremendous meet. Good luck tomorrow, and we'll talk Friday.
Sounds great, Steve. Thank you. Thanks. Looking forward to it.
NTAMM, NTAMM 1215. And for those of you that are somewhat new to the game, that don't remember Nick and, you know, the analysis that he had for many years. I mean, that's how a lot of people came to know Nick, was, you know, his outstanding opinion, laid out for everybody. And it's back. We're going to be back with Jeff Franklin from Thoroughgraph, as mentioned. Jeff's going to talk about the Thoroughgraph player services concept, which is plugged into Naira Betts, and what the benefits are. And we talked about it, I think, before Saratoga last summer, and here before Belmont. A good time to revisit. And going to listen to a tremendous version here. Mavis Staples going to bring us through the break. Eyes on the Prize. You may not have heard this version before. Jeff Franklin, when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Mavis Staples' fabulous, fabulous version of the gospel standard, Eyes on the Prize. And if you've never seen the PBS series, Eyes on the Prize, I'd highly recommend it. If you, as I mentioned yesterday, if you didn't live through the 60s, particularly 67, 68, you would do yourself a favor to understand. You know, on Friday, I closed the show by, you know, saying, try to find some empathy. That's been really the key element that seems to have dissipated from sensibilities overall, at least, you know, in the time that, you know, I've grown up, be interested to, you know, take a wider survey. Thanks to Nick Tamaro for a glance ahead to tomorrow's action at Belmont as the season gets started. And the last time we spoke to Jeff Franklin, Thoroughgraph Player Services, was ahead of Saratoga. And with every passing season and meet, Thoroughgraph Player Services continues to grow and expand its offerings and the benefits. And it's always a pleasure to talk to Jeff Franklin. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Terrific.
Can you hear me?
I've got you.
Good.
With your visit, and of course, earlier I had Tony Alivato. If I go get Tom Aronson, basically we've got the the founding tripod of TVG.
Well. You know, it's so funny because people always ask me about how Thoroughgraph Player Services got started. And over the years in my time at, you know, at ADW, and I've known Jerry Brown, and Jerry always was frustrated that horse players never got the same respect as, let's say, casino players or folks in other entertainment venues. And we talked about it for years. And then lo and behold, I was working in a transition role at NYRA, taking NYRA Rewards and bringing in new technology to what is now NYRA Bets. And who emerges on the scene but Tony Alivato? And who's rising up through the ranks but Dave O'Rourke, who's now CEO? And the four of us would go out to dinner, and all we talk about is how can we innovate? How can we break the mold? What can we do that's better technology-wise, for the player? How can we return more to racing? And that was kind of the background of how Thoroughgraph Player Services got started. So Tony and I had worked to really get it off the ground, taking Jerry's initial idea and making it real. And as you said, what we thought would be a nice boutique little ADW now has thousands of players who bet tens of millions of dollars annually. So we're doing something right, I think.
Well, and, you know, the value-added concept it was, you know, at the heart of this. And granted, nobody right now can take advantage of on-track benefits. When those become available again, we can visit it. But when it comes to the rebate equation, for instance, anybody that's playing really any level, I mean, even if it's just the basics, it deserves something. I mean, one of the sidebars to the information discussion, the free data discussion, is that, you know, anybody that's playing is getting PPs, for instance. I mean, players of even, you know, modest means are you know, offered past performances as part of their ADW, but there's, you know, layers and layers as you grow as a player. I think, honestly, Jeff, I mean, I didn't become aware for a good long while that there was more out there for me as a player, you know, based on my volume. I mean, nobody really hands you an instruction manual on that front.
Right. And, you know, and leave it to Tony and the NYRA Bets team to understand that, and came up with the concept of the 5% rebate during the opening week at Belmont. I think it's a way of saying welcome back, not only to the live racing, but welcome back to the players who can now bet again on NYRA. I mean, these guys have been through hell in a handbasket. I work with them every day. And you can imagine when you're all set up in a brick and mortar operation, you have to go remote. and people demand the same level of service from Naira Betts in all aspects of Naira. It's been a hell of a challenge, but they're back on it, and I think they're going to have a hell of a meet. So I didn't hear all of what Tony had to say earlier, but just to recap, I hope it's not going to be redundant. The idea is, I'm speaking out the Fotograph Player Services cap on, all of our players will be getting a 5% rebate during opening week on all their Belmont Park bets. And I know Naira on Parallel Path is offering that to the Naira Betts players. And it's not surprising, we are an affiliation. We have an affiliation with Naira Betts. And, you know, again, the idea was, why don't we join forces and let Naira's technology, their superior customer service, everything that they do for the player, let's add a layer of Thorograph onto that as well and give guys, you know, new sign-up bonuses. They get one from Naira Betts, they get one from us. Let's give free sheets on, say, Mondays and Tuesdays as we did for the last couple of months when guys were at home. Let's give free seminars at the time. Let's give top rebates all the time. And something else that's going to be kind of fun as racing's doors reopen is that we've set up on-track amenities for all of our players, for all of our players, at tracks like at Naira, Keeneland, Oaklawn, Del Mar, et cetera, et cetera. So when a guy can go to the track and he's a TGPS member, you know, I'd like to think they're treated kind of like royalty. And it's really worked well.
Let's, in addition to just, you know, reiterating this 5% rebate opening week, expand on the whole package, Jeff, because for people that want to sign up, there's a bonus involved. There's all kinds of, you know, you mentioned some sheet opportunities, you know, for sure. Obviously the players that are already familiar with Thorograph, that, you know, they've been exposed to it over the last couple of years. But there's going to be people hearing this for the first time, and let's help them understand all the benefits that they get when they join, you know, through Thorograph.
Sure. And so the concept, again, is that the players benefited by kind of a great 1-2 punch. Naira Betts provides the basically the core wagering account. So you set up your Naira Betts account and you use their ADW platforms, their mobile devices, if you're on track, online, etc. They take care of everything wagering related, rebate related, funding related, and we jointly share the customer service aspect. So all Thorograph Player Services get really handheld by a specific representative at the key account desk and myself personally. So, you know, with thousands of guys, that's kind of a daunting task, but it's been so much fun to get to know these guys on a first name basis. And when we do live seminars, et cetera, to get to see them, shake their hand when that's still permitted, and really get to get a whole new cadre of friends, right? So what does Thorograph do? So as Naira Betts is doing all the core wagering-related activities, including a $200 deposit match. So you can get the details on our site or on theirs. I won't spend a lot of time, but basically, if you become a new member, you deposit a couple $100, you'll get a couple $100 back as a thank you for signing up from Naira Betts. We add to that $250 in free Thorograph product, which is distributed every day for the first 10 days that you bet $25 or more, you get a $25 free Thorograph product credit. So 10 times 25 equals $250. So there's $450 just to join the group. And then Naira Betts gives our players the top rebates that they're allowed to in each category. And as I mentioned, the amenities, certain funding privileges, and other benefits from Thorograph, which go on seasonally. Things like Jerry's given away at a time free Travers seminars. And these things vary by season. Right now, for example, if you're a Thorograph Player Services member, you get reduced caps, which allow you to download Thorograph for all tracks, all products, with one fixed fee, and it's less than everybody else pays. So there's a real incentive to sign up. And the way the guys do it, it's really simple. If you're a Thoroughgraph member, you just sign on, thoroughgraph.com. After you do so, you just click right in the center of the homepage. You'll see a big graphic that says Thoroughgraph Player Services. That redirects you to a baby version of Naira Bets that's embedded in our site. And there's a little blue sign-up button right there. You just sign up for Naira Bets. The computers take care of everything else. You don't have to lift a finger thereafter. And the rebates are applied. The free amenities at the tracks are applied. The sign-up bonuses are applied. And I will also tell you, I don't think I'm at liberty to say, talk specifics now, but beginning July 1, we're going to be adding a whole new layer of activities and benefits for all the Thoroughgraph Player Services members. So, in addition to what Tony and Naira Bets team is doing this week, it's really just a hell of a time to join. So,
I got to ask Jeff, if you're already a Naira Bets customer, I'm imagining you're not eligible for the Thoroughgraph bonus, the $250.
Yeah. So in most cases, our arrangement with Naira Bets is we don't accept old Naira Bets accounts, but active Naira Bets accounts into the program. And the reason is really simple, as Tony said. Margins are thin these days, Steve. And, Naira can't afford to be slicing and dicing with us if already thin margins. In some cases, though, we work together and we talk to a lot of players. I encourage guys to email me that have an existing Naira Bets account. And in some cases, we can link them. In many cases, there are restrictions that prevent us from doing so, but we do our best. And it's really for the benefit of racing and whenever we can let a guy in, we would. But for the most part, if they have an existing Naira Bets account, there are going to be some restrictions on moving them over and upgrading to TGPS.
Okay, so
we try.
I hear you, but ideally, if for those that do not yet have a Naira Bets account, is the perfect scenario.
Right. The sweet spot for us is a Thoroughgraph player that hasn't signed up for Naira Bets yet. And as I mentioned, they log in, they sign up, and now the two accounts are inexorably linked behind the scenes. And the player doesn't have to do anything. They just bet away through any portal, any of the Naira Bets portals, or they can bet through our site where we have the embedded Naira Bets. And the computers give them all the awards automatically. They don't lift a finger. So the rebates show up automatically, the new member bonuses, et cetera. And as I mentioned, when we go back to open door racing, you can go to Thoroughgraph.com, and there will be an amenities portion. And let's suppose Del Mar is going on and there's open door racing. There's a specific link where you can contact Betty down at Del Mar Thoroughbred Club and say, I'm coming to the races these days. Can you please help me out? She'll send me an email and say, is this a legitimate customer? What's his user class? I'll tell her, and they're set up automatically. All the tickets and package art will call. So we're pretty proud of it, Steve, because I think we're delivering on the old dream of a really breaking the mold and the kind of sterility between an ADW, which is this remote off-track platform, and not really tied to the track. And we're working with Naira and all these other tracks to really get an umbilical cord between the player and the racetrack again. So it's kind of like the old days, in a sense. The old days where you did bond with the track, and yet you had the advantage of all the new technology and all the new benefits that we throw at them.
Jeff, I'm curious if you're able to talk for a minute about, you've got rebate structures with with a whole array of venues, and give players that really aren't familiar with a rebate structure, can you give them an idea of what players can get back at the various depths of handle?
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, I think I mentioned, if I didn't, I was remiss. Naira Betts takes care of all of that. So they negotiate rebate sheets they negotiate rates with all the various tracks that are on Naira Betts, and then they set up rate sheets depending upon where somebody lives, their usage class, and come up with a fair structure. And basically what it is the operator is reinvesting part of their profit and just giving it right back to the player. In some cases, due to certain restrictions, hell, I live in California, and it's tough to get, you know, even 1 or 2% here, because in California, they take 15% off the top and they give it back to the racing industry. Good thing for the racing industry, but it doesn't make for, good rebates. Other places, there are various places, the proverbial Tennessees of the world, where there really isn't a racing presence, you can get 8, 10% back, depending on your usage class and what you're betting on and things like that. So there's kind of a sliding scale, Steve, in where you live. And in some cases, we have Naira Betts has agreements with racetracks. So if somebody lives close to a racetrack, they pay more to the racetrack to compensate them for any unintended cannibalism. And that reduces the margin you can work with. So in some cases, a guy who lives close to a racetrack might not get the same rebate as a buddy of his that lives 200 miles away in the same state, just because the margin's less. So it's really simple mathematics. How much operating margin do I have on you, Steve Vick, where you live, what you bet on, and I try to give you as much back as I can and still keep the doors open, here. That's how it works.
Can you tell players that, they're saying to themselves, well, I'm a weekend guy and I don't know if I would qualify. I mean, what is a monthly handle or an annual handle? What's really the first level, Jeff, that a player can realize a rebate?
Oh, everybody gets it. No exceptions. Every Thoroughbred Player Services player gets a rebate. And again, Naira Betts has been extremely generous in granting our players the best rebates they can give per category. And the reason why is very simple, is that the Thoroughbred players are astoundingly active and loyal. And, I ran UBets, I ran Express Bet at other places. So I know what the typical guy bets, and our guys bet 4.5 to 5 times the national average. They're really active and loyal players. So because of that, it's good business on Naira Betts part two, because then they can reward the guys. They can recognize that these are top players and reward them accordingly.
Very nice. So there's your, those of you that are listening and saying, well, I probably don't bet enough. You do, because everybody gets it.
Without exception.
That's the beauty. And so it was a loaded question. Jeff, how do people tell them where to visit, tell them how to get in touch with you if they've got questions, and to make the mechanics happen? It's not hard to sign up.
No, thanks, Steve. They go to www.thoroughgraph.com. And if they're an existing Thoroughgraph member, they just log in, click on the banner in the center of the page. That takes them to a version of Naira Betts that's embedded in our site. And there's a blue sign-up button there. They just sign up for Naira Betts, and away they go. If there are any questions about the program, eligibility, anything like that, they can email me. And it's really easy. It's jeff@thoroughgraph.com, and I'll get it. And I deal with hundreds of guys a week, so don't be bashful. If you have a question, let me know. And Steve, before I go, I got to say one thing. I like the Stidham Filly in the 6th race with you, so I think we're going to go down together. But
nice
on this one, yeah.
Nice,
yeah. I mean, if you project her 3-year-old numbers, if she improves 2 to 3 lengths as a 4-year-old, and she ran so well at Belmont Park, she moved up three or four. Lengths, I think, earlier in her career on off racetracks, and I see that they're calling for some moisture in the area tonight. So, this could be a nice perfect storm at 15-1. That'd be not bad. So that's my top for the day.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I love hearing it because that was exactly the rationale that I carried in. And frankly, a similar set of scenarios existed at Churchill on Saturday. And you know that. I mean, if Jerry needs his ego fed any more than necessary, we got to mention, and people have heard me say this for years, the dedication to improving the product and making it in every way as good as it can be. Jerry is constantly tinkering and coming up with elements of the figures and of the entire package. And as opposed to just putting a number on a page, a performance figure on the page, I've explained to people for years that the trainer stats and the sire stats that are involved in the Thorograph product, I get as many winners from there as from the performance figure. I mean, the performance figure can help you project, you know, where a horse is headed and so forth. But when you then fold in, particularly the stallion stats and the sibling right. stats, I mean, there's so much more to this product than any other speed figure, premium speed figure. It's not close. And the latest, you know, were these indices, including, you know, the sire index, where, you know, you see the average of, you know, Medaglia, I don't have it in front of me, but Medaglia Doro's at 3, averaging a 10 and a quarter, and at 4, averaging an 8. So a horse making a start in the middle of its 4-year-old year, like a repatriated gem, could stand to come back a couple of points faster. And to be honest, she was already fast enough and competitive with the right. rest of that field, and she's a price. This is how you win. You know, Jerry's had the same moniker for years, everything you need to win, and it couldn't be more accurate.
I agree, and, you know, the thing about Jerry is he's a tough hombre, and he's a perfectionist. And for those of us, I mean, you know, heck, Steve, when I was a jockey's agent, some of the guys know me, some don't. I used to have Gary Stevens' book and Pat Valenzuela's book and a bunch of guys here on the West Coast. I didn't pay the rent if I couldn't pick winners better than the next guy and better than the next agent. And agents are a pretty tough group. And Thorograph was the basis, was my foundation block for making my decisions. And sure, it wasn't the only. I mean, if in those days Charlie Whittingham came up and said, "Will you ride this horse?" and some guy, you know, had a horse, a nondescript trainer with 3 horses in his barn, had a similar horse that ran a point faster, you're going to ride Charlie's. But for the most part, I mean, we set an all-time riding record with Gary Stevens, won Santa Anita, breaking shoes records, and I credited Thorograph. I mean, it was like shooting goldfish in a barrel. I would know when an allowance race came up, and in those days, not too many guys had Thorograph on the West Coast. So I'd see one horse consistently ran 6s, one consistently ran 9s. I'd ride the 6s, and people call me a genius. And it wasn't. I was just following what the numbers said. So I'm a real believer. And as you mentioned, Jerry then took it to the next level and said, and he's told me this many times, the way he designed this was, because Jerry's an active player, he's not a passive guy who is an academic. He says, what do I need to make the best decision so that I can make money? And if it's not on my sheet, it should be. And that's how all this got there. And it's great stuff. I mean, I couldn't dream of handicapping without it.
I mean,
I know it sounds like a plug, but it's legit. You know,
plug.
Pay your rent.
For good reason.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And if you paid your rent, making these decisions, you had to get the best product. So that's how I got with these guys.
Thorograph.com, and you'll see the Thorograph Player Services logo right in the center of the page. Get in touch with Jeff, and you can start this meet with a bang tomorrow. Jeff Franklin, I really appreciate it, and hopefully we've got some player service benefits at Saratoga in person, and Del Mar and everywhere else. But when that time comes, we'll talk about that as well.
Great, Steve. Thanks. And Godspeed to everybody. I hope you're all safe, and hope to see you in the backyard at Saratoga, if we're lucky.
Exactly. Jeff Franklin, everybody, from Thorograph Player Services. We're going to stay right here. We're going to give you another tool, one that you've heard some references to and you've seen a lot about really the last month plus, the TripNote Pros concept that Ryan Matthews has developed, and it's absolutely a terrific niche because it's already taxing to dig through the PPs. Not everybody knows how to watch a race for troubled trips. It's a something that you cultivate and you develop and you hone, and Ryan's doing it for you, which is an unbelievable service and yet something new to add to your arsenal. And everybody's looking to add to their arsenal. Ryan Matthews, known as Benny South Street on Twitter. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Terrific. And delighted to have the opportunity to talk about this, because it just seemed immediately, I thought, wow, this is a clever and smart concept. Because if there's one part of handicapping arsenals that is, it may be at the ready, and you can, you know, reach out and have replays, you know, at your fingertips these days, but it's another thing to watch race after race after race and know what you're looking for, and you know, having to pick up you know, what real trouble is, and understanding race flow and understanding bias of you know, of surfaces, and there's a lot that goes into this, and you've really hit on something.
I appreciate that. I've got a really solid team behind me, and we've been putting in the work, and as you mentioned, it just takes a lot of time. You know, I can't tell you how long it's. I'm working between 18 and 20 hours a day right now until we get this thing streamlined. But I think that's the big thing, is that horse players are visual people, and we need to kind of see that in order to get a grasp of that real valuable element, which is the artistic side of handicapping. And unless you're willing to put in the time, and not most are, it's kind of a lost element, and it's super important. I think it's the one thing that offers up value when you're playing horses, more so than a lot of scientific based products. Not to castigate anything negative on those, because you know, I use them myself, but a lot of good players are using them, and most of those things are baked into the price. The markets are just so tight with pace analysis and speed figures and statistics, and you got computer players using algorithms, and it's a tough game. It's tougher than it ever has been, and I think what we've created and what we're going to launch here soon is different, and I really think it's going to help some people. We're excited about it.
Well, you should be, and it's you know, much the way the, you know, the Clocker Report concept, you know, which was very West Coast centric for many, many years before it proliferated, and you know, players that, you know, obviously the people that were using National Turf and Andy Harrington's work, they, you know, that has kind of expanded, and then DRF's element and Mike Welsh and the team that they've added, and meets that are, you know, augmented in terms of workout report. But I mean, to me, that's the comparison. And you know, it's been for a lot of players, you know, adding workout information is the latest of their tools. This is different, because it's not so much a case of getting your hands on something that you know, nobody else has. It's a nuanced element that not everybody is going to have at their disposal. I mean, there's people, Ryan, that have been playing for years that don't necessarily and wouldn't necessarily be able to be given a replay and pick out where the trouble was. And so having people that are focused on that, and are, you know, laying it out in a report format. I mean, that's the difference here. That's the game-changing element.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Like I said, there's just, it's different. It's different in that there's that subjectiveness and artistic element to it. You know, you can't, I watch races with friends sometimes, and I say, hey, do me a favor, let's watch this race together and tell me what you see. And almost every time, I'm watching a different race than most people. So it's not to say that I'm better than anybody else, because I'm not. There are a lot of really sharp players that, you know, that watch replays, but I almost equate it to like hacking a computer. You know, if you talk to a guy that is good at hacking a computer, not that I know any, and you say, hey, teach me that, he's going to say, well, I can't teach you. It's kind of like an innate skill, and it can be learned. Actually, one of the things that we're going to have is we're going to have almost like a tutorial kind of master class for those that want to take their replay watching game to the next level. So that'll be one of the interactive elements that we've got in there. But it is a skill that is tough to develop and takes years, and there's a huge learning curve to it. So, just happy to offer this up to the masses.
Let's talk about your own player development and how, you know, this became part of your arsenal and your preferred, you know, your preferred handicapping method, and take us through that.
Well, I'm a tournament player, and it's funny that Nick was on before me. It seems like every time I play in a live cash contest, I'm looking up at Nick Tamaro. I made a huge score last year in the Belmont. I hammered a straight double with Sir Winston, and I thought for sure I had finished second. Yeah, and I looked up and I saw Nick Tamaro, so that was kind of funny. I had an interesting, colorful text exchange right after that race, which was good. I can't share on these airwaves, but I'm a tournament player, and it seems to me that a lot of these, which are, they have pick and pray contests, I found myself selecting the same horses as everybody else. So I was using the same software, using the same scientific data, and I feel like I need to be a little bit of a contrarian to win these contests. If you end up having the same horses, you know, you inevitably are behind the curve, even if you're a good player. So wanted to focus more on the trips and finding things that other people weren't finding. And even in the trip handicapping, I'm looking for things that normal trip handicappers don't look for and frankly don't find. Two major things that we're looking for are jockey intent and horse comfort. I almost take myself into a first-person look when I'm looking at the race. So I'll imagine if I were a jockey, what would I be trying to do and try and get in the head of that jockey. And by doing that, you can find things that maybe others wouldn't. For example, you know, I think that every jockey, when they get into that gate, they have every intention of winning that race. But there are times that inevitably they find themselves in positions where they know they can't get there, or the wind's been taken out of their sails because they have a certain running style, and that style hasn't worked in that race, albeit, you know, they've been kind of beat up a little bit through either a pace disadvantage or trouble in a place of a race that's important to that horse, i.e. a late runner that gets that trouble late where he can't level when he needs to, or a speed horse that is just off a hair slow in the beginning of a race. That can be devastating to a speed horse because then they have to be asked early and they burn that gas tank. So, you know, I'm trying to get into the head of that jockey, and I think that's where you find the real nuggets, because if they know they're not going to get there and they know they've been beaten up a little bit, a lot of times they're taking care of these animals late, and you can find that, but you have to watch the whole race. You have to watch both the pan and the head-on shot, and you've got to watch the gallop out. You know, it takes a long time to do it the right way. So we're not just looking for obvious trouble lines. And frankly, most of the trouble lines aren't very good, if I can be perfectly honest. They're either mislabeled, or I don't think it's intentional. It's just it's actually a testament to how difficult it is to watch all of the replays and pay attention to every horse. And these guys are doing it on a small level. We've taken it to the next level.
Expand a little bit, too, if you would, Ryan, because the trouble moniker. This is just a personal thing, and anybody that's listened to the show for any length of time knows that when trouble horses come up, particularly when we're looking into, you know, on a Friday and we're doing the weekend preview and you know, going over races that, you know, people are familiar with, there is constantly the trouble line horse that everybody lands on. And for me, when I start to hear that, when I start to hear, you know, one and read and see selections and, you know, have just a collection of people talking about the horse, that, oh, trouble, it invariably to me, they're going to end up being overbet. And one of my theories or, you know, responses to those kinds of horses is most times they're horses that are either going to be mid pack or horses that are coming from off the pace. And every single race, if they're going to have to pass 6, 7, 8 horses, there's a chance they're going to find trouble. It comes with their running style, right? It comes with their running style. And so helping the people understand the nuance between a horse that finds trouble by, you know, means of their running style versus horses that had nuanced trouble that aren't going to be the mojo horse coming up on Saturday that you know should be 8-1 but's going off at 7-2. And that's what I'm looking to avoid personally. But I'd love for you to respond to that, you know, to that concept.
Couldn't agree more. You know, those obvious trouble lines, not only do they get baked into the price, they're actually a negative value because they're so obvious that everybody's on that horse. And oftentimes they don't, like you said, they don't come back and fire anyway. If I give you an example of maybe what wouldn't show up as a trouble line, so we're going to have a glossary of terms, and there are some terms up there now that we've kind of made up on our own, the actual definitions. For example, we've got a fake fast pace, which could serve as a trouble line, in that, if I can try and paint this picture for you, you've got a runoff leader by 8 lengths, and it's a route on the turf, and that entire pack is, they've let that horse go. They're not being dragged to the bottom of the ocean into that pace. And the rest of that field is compact, and they're just waiting for that leader to come back. So there's kind of a race within a race. So we've identified that as a fake fast pace. So players that are analyzing pace or a speed figure, that's probably going to get a faster number because faster paces yield faster races. Our term is that the rest of that pack is the actual pace. So that's a subtle trouble line where you might see a horse that's, let's say he's in last in that race, but he's in last following a slow flow in that he's got horses in front of them that are not burning gas. They're not chasing that leader. So a lot of the analysis that comes up on a computer, it's lost in this. And there's a wall in front of that horse, and he's really got to be good to get around all of those trackers, which you know, the riders have ridden correctly in letting that horse go. And you might offer up a ton of value for a horse that's coming from way off of the pace, you know, trying to get around those horses in what looks like a fast race run early, and it's not. So that's an example. Another term that we've got in there is accordion flow, where you've got a leader that he's clear, and the pace seems to be fast, and then he gets his breather, and he kind of backs up into the field a little bit, and then you see that crunch in the field where the field starts to come together in the far turn, and then the leader spurts away again because he's had that breather, and it's kind of like that accordion look about it where it crunches in and then it spreads out again. That's another one where stretch runners, they're going to be at a big disadvantage, and that pace might look like a normal pace. So they're trouble lines that don't even show up, that you've got to look for, and it's extremely visual, and you're not going to see these things unless you're watching the tapes. And then there's all kinds of different things, like I love turf sprints. People, they don't realize how important it is to save ground in a turf sprint. At least in a route, you've got a couple of turns, and if you go wide in one part of the race, you can try and shave, you know, the other part of the race and save that ground that you lost early. In a turf sprint, everyone's running hard into that turn, and if you've got to, you know, go wide in that, and you're running so much further than 80% of the field, it's almost impossible to win. So there are different things, yeah, that we're looking for that I don't think will ever show up on a trouble line that's going to be over bet. Hopefully that answers your question a little bit because, yeah, the troubled line that everybody sees, it's almost a never play unless it's just so obvious you think the race is a free square in some respects and you play an exotic to get your value back.
Ryan Flanders with us, and we're talking about Trip Note Pros, and so that we don't run into a time constraint too. Ryan, lay out, you know, what kind of a subscription concept you're working with, and you know, right now you're offering up a lot of opportunities and insights for people, reviewing sequences, doing stuff end of the week with Pete as well on in the Money podcast, and how do you envision the product's accessibility for subscribers, and give everybody that information?
Well, there are a few things that we're doing now that are kind of game changers, I think. It doesn't show up now, but it will be in Spanish, for example. The Spanish-speaking population, I believe, has been somewhat ignored in terms of data, so I'm really excited about that. Again, that won't show up right away, but it'll most likely be card-based. To be perfectly honest with you, we haven't decided on a price point yet because we just have so many different people that have signed up, trainers and pick services and ownership syndicates and media, I mean, even ADW representatives, and they'll all be priced differently, but we do believe that we're going to offer up a product that's fair and on a per card basis will be what we're offering rather than a subscription based service. Hopefully that answers the question a little bit. We're going to know more as we go. Right now we've only got a soft launch product, which all we're sending out right now are trips for late pick five sequences at selective tracks, and that'll obviously be upgraded to the major tracks with every horse at every major track. So the data is good. I mean, I don't know. I hate to be, you know, we don't want to be a tout. So the data itself, when it comes to you, you might be able to glean who we're leaning on. But the last thing I want to do is say, you know, bet this horse, because then it becomes a watered down product. It's just another element to incorporate into your handicapping. If you like a horse,
exactly,
or you don't like a horse, and you might be able to read that note and have your opinion either validated or just guys like me and my team offer you something to give a different way about thinking about that element of handicapping.
No doubt, and nobody would want you to do that, although I will say that much like those that read the, you know, the DRF clocker reports and get to know, you know, Dave Norton and Toby Terrell and Mike Welch, obviously, Andy Harrington's work. I mean, whoever you whose comments you read, you do, after a while, you do start to, you know, glean some nuance to their inflections, you know, especially Harrington. I mean, Harrington's got like three magic words that always seem to jump off the page at me, you know, about a horse, the way they're working. So this kind of a product is, it's for people to, they've gotten used to this, Ryan, and they're going to know exactly, you know, how to use it when, you know, when they're reading through the horses. And obviously, you know, all you got to do is look at the Belmont sequence tomorrow that we talked about with Nick, and there's so many layoff horses. Well, none of those, you know, the majority of those don't have recent notes, so you're only going to be able to, you know, augment with information on, you know, the horses that have had recent starts. So, you know, it's like looking at a field of maidens, some that have started and some that are firsters. You know, you've got a complete picture maybe on some, and you have to speculate on others. I mean, that's what this kind of a product does for a player.
Couldn't agree more. That's why we're doing it. You know, there's no product out there.
Cool.
Some people write trips. We think we do it a little bit better, more thorough, and can give a better, new, cleaner look at different angles when you're handicapping. That's the whole goal here.
Very cool. And you know, then of course the accessibility, you know, you're out there on Twitter, the South Street, to follow Benny, and Trip Note Pros is the product's moniker on Twitter as well. And you know, they see you all day long interacting with people and answering questions and, you know, providing feedback and, you know, just talking about this. And the best part of it, much like, you know, in fact Andy Serling is next, that was the best part of what Andy did with Trips and Traps. It exposed people to a part of the game that isn't easy to comprehend, and by doing this, it's going to help people have a better understanding of how to watch races. It's the most difficult part of growing as a horse player is understanding race flow, understanding, you know, how horses are compromised, or how horses are, you know, given advantageous opportunities by the racetrack or the race flow. And the harder you work at these kinds of elements, the better player you're going to be, the more you're going to cash tickets, the better enjoyment factor of the game. And people get frustrated, Ryan. That's the best part of this, that you're helping people to gain a toehold, because this game is hard. And as you started the conversation, I mean, that's the watchword. And if it was easy, then everybody would be making money and nobody would, you know, get frustrated.
Man, I love you, Steve. Where do I send the champagne?
we'll do it. How about at Keeneland this November? That's at least the one place I can conceive that we're going to all race. You know, horse players are all going to be able to convene. I'm hoping by November at the latest. Anyway, but I'm excited for you, and you know the concept. It just, you know, anything that helps players win is, you know, that's been the theme all day, actually. And I wish you tons of success, and we'll continue to, you know, make it, you know, make people aware of it. TripNotePros.com, and visit and follow both the products account at Twitter, as well as Ryan himself, B South Street, and the fun that the Benny South Street character has.
Yeah, it's funny. So Pete, actually, when he was having a little trouble a while back, he said, "Hey, I could really use your help, and can you help me develop some content?" And I said, "No problem. You know, I'll help you in any way that I can." And of course, inevitably, we ended up where I was writing a lot of trips for Pete, and I didn't want my name used because I planned contests, and I knew that if people knew who I was going to play, for example, we were in a live contest, and if I was fortunate enough to be in front or chasing a close lead by somebody else, they would know who I was going to be taking based on my notes. So Pete came up with this clever idea. We would create this character named Benny South Street, who who's a character in Guys and Dolls. And sure. It stuck for a while until I lost a bet with J.K. Over the ride of McKenzie and the Met Mile a couple years ago. I made a bet that if Mike Smith didn't get fired from that mount, I would reveal my identity, and he ended up losing the mount, but it didn't happen right away, and so I had to reveal my identity. But yeah, it's fun because I get to say some stupid things on Twitter, and most of the people don't know who I am. So,
well, that's the funniest part about it was, you know, when you said the other day, you said we met at the Eddie Logan suite, and. And at first, I had to really think, and I said, "Oh, wait a minute! All right, Ryan Flanders. Now I got it." Ryan, thank you. Thanks for this. And anything you need to communicate out to the players, let me know.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me, and thank you for everything you do with horse racing. You do a great job. I'm a big fan.
I appreciate that. It's very kind. Here it is. B South Street. Follow Ryan and TripNotePros.com as they, you know, finalize their package. And it's going to be valuable to players. It's going to obviously augment your understanding and improve your overall opinion. Andy Serling did the groundwork in a lot of ways with this. And I'm going to bring up Trips and Traps with Andy, but we got a lot to talk about with him. He's going to join us after we take in a little Pete Seeger, the Big Rock Candy Mountain.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The sun went down and the jungle fires were burning. Down the track came a hobo hiking. He said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm heading for a land that's far away, beside that crystal fountain. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, it's a land that's fair and bright. The handouts grow on bushes and you sleep out every night. The boxcars all are empty, the sun shines every day. I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the sleet don't fall and the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. Oh, the buzzing of the bees in the cigarette trees, by the soda water fountain, by the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, you never change your socks. Little streams of alcohol come trickling down the rocks. Oh, the shacks all have to tip their hats. The railroad bulls are blind. There's a lake of stew and ginger ale too. You can paddle all around it in a big canoe in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. Oh, the buzzing of the bees in the cigarette trees, by the soda water fountain, by the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, the cops have wooden legs. The bulldogs all have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The boxcars all are empty, and the sun shines every day. I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the sleet don't fall and the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. Oh, the buzzing of the bees in the cigarette trees, by the soda water fountain, by the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, the jails are made of tin. You can slip right out again as soon as they put you in. There ain't no short-handled shovels, no axes, saws, nor picks. I'm bound to stay where you sleep all day, where they hung the jerk that invented work, in the Big Rock Candy Mountain. Oh, the buzzing of the bees in the cigarette trees, by the soda water fountain, where the lemonade springs, where the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.